a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
Coming up on Global Business, innovation focus, cutting-edge green art and sustainable consumption takes center stage at the Going Hainan Expo 2024. High-stakes talks, China-U.S. Economic and Financial Working Group convenes in Washington to tackle bilateral issues. Optimistic outlook, IMF predicts stable 3% global economic growth for 2024, citing strong recovery indicators. From CGTN headquarters here in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Zhou Yun. The fourth China International Consumer Products Expo is currently taking place on the island province of Hainan. Well, today marks the fifth day of the six-day event, with grain and low-carbon products prominently showcased across various exhibition areas. From snacks to woolen scarves, many everyday consumer products now emphasize sustainability, from raw materials to packaging. Well, one reason companies are eager to go green with their business models is the rising demand for green consumption. And the expo offers a glimpse of the future, with both domestic and international companies vying for attention from China's younger generations, as those consumers are willing to pay higher prices for environmentally friendly products. Well, during the ongoing expo, our reporter Zhu Zhu interviewed an analyst from the consulting firm Ernst & Young to get his insights on the emerging trends in the global green transition. Let's take a listen.
I'm now right here at the 4th China International Consumer Products Expo, and I wander around the jewelry exhibition section here, and guess what? I found that some of the products are actually made from those wasted industrial waste, such as this beautiful jewelry pieces here. That's really surprising for me, because it looks like a very beautiful art piece. As people change the way they spend, and many of these jewelries, those art pieces are made from those environmental friendly products, and also for more green consumption trends, we are very glad to be joined by Dennis from EY.
Hi,
Dennis,
so
thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I heard that EY just released a report on green consumption, right?
Yes. Yes,
so
indeed.
More on that. Mm-hmm. What are some trends going on?
Sure. I actually have one copy on my hand right here.
Wow.
EY, this is our fourth year joining or participating in the CICPE, and then we've seen a lot of changes since the first year from 2021. And this year, we just released this report yesterday, indeed. And in there, what we did is we did a global survey with over 20,000 respondents. And then in there, we asked questions about sustainability, ESG, and then health consciousness, etc. And what we found that is over 76% of our respondents globally, they are aware, highly aware of sustainability in their purchase decisions now. And then they would consider, when they make a decision before, they would actually consider whether this product or this vendor is environmental friendly enough. Our Chinese consumers already aware of this, I think. They would consider in the whole value chain of our industries, when they make the purchase, they would think that, oh, is this going to last long? Is this durable? One day, if I have to dispose it, what would it cause, you know, as a damage to the planet, etc. Also, they look at the price as well. In our survey, we also did a very interesting survey, or one question is to ask, okay, well, now all these consumers are saying that they are aware of the sustainability, they would pay extra for that. How much would that be? And what we found that is actually not a lot.
Not a lot.
I would say that it won't go over than 10%.
Oh, okay.
So that's very inspiring to a lot of those companies in our industries to think about if they want to put that element in the next, you know, newer products, etc.,
yeah,
in the products innovation the process. So how can they also at the same time maintain their margin?
Yes.
Right? Because it's all about cost. So the cost efficiency is a key element too.
For more analysis on China's green development and low carbon practices, let's now bring in Liu Zhiqin, Senior Fellow of Chongyang Institute of Financial Studies at Renmin University of China. Hello there, Mr. Liu. Thank you for joining us. Well, in advancing low carbon and green development, what do you consider to be China's greatest achievement so far?
As we know, that China is one of the best countries in the world that who have already implemented its target for green development, especially for the low carbon emission activities. Actually, in the past years, especially this year and the year last, we have found many activities and the big events that have already reached to the target of green development. For instance, the Boao Forum is a big event with many participants from all over the world. And also the high representative for international organization came to China for a meeting with our government. All this the forum also held in Beijing. So all these big forum, including the sport event, for instance, the Olympic in China, and also the other sport, basketball, football in China, and also table tennis champion in China. All these activities have been already organized according to zero emission. Especially we see that this is really a very good, excellent achievement have been made by the Chinese government, but also the many Chinese entrepreneurs, they made their great contribution to make this goal to be realized, especially from the officials to the entrepreneurs to normal citizens. They have a high level of understanding that the importance of the implementation of the green development. So this is the achievement we have already realized in the past time.
Well, Mr. Liu, given the significant advancements in areas like electric transportation, like you just have mentioned, what are some of the new opportunities or areas for further exploration do you see in China's future green practices?
This is really a very important question, because many people always understood that we should take that public transportation or electrical cars. This is also one part of the green development or green economy. But actually, we have many things to be done, especially for some new areas and special areas that we need more efforts that to put into this implementation of the green development. For instance, how to have green education, how to have the green medicament, the medical care, especially for those aging people. Now we are coming to the aging society with over 230 million people aging. They really need a lot of services and the consumption. This consumption milestones or mainly could have some more carbon emissions. So this area should be paid more consideration and take into account how to make more green development. And of course, the other field also from the catering, for instance. We know that Chinese catering is the number one, the best excellent in the world, but nobody can understand that how many carbon emission could be caused, could be produced by these caterings. So how to make this Chinese catering as a bigger revolution, take a reform to make our catering and cooking and make less carbon emission. This is another heavy job and excellent challenge. I should say this is really a very important challenge for us to put more technologies and put more efforts to make all this field to be more green developed.
Mm-hmm. Green education, green services, very interesting ideas. Thank you so much, Mr. Liu. Please stay with us for more discussions later in the program. Well, the Yangpu International Container Terminal, located in South China's Hainan Province, was officially rated as a 4-star green port in May last year. It signifies the implementation of green development and ecological priorities at Yangpu Port. Bing Wu has the story from Hainan.
In 2021, the shore power system of the Yangpu International Container Terminal was put into operation, enabling the port area to gradually eliminate the lingering diesel odor. According to data from the Yangpu International Container Terminal on the number of ships docked in 2023, if all ships use shore power, it can replace nearly 8,000 tons of fuel and reduce carbon dioxide emissions by over 25,000 tons annually. In 2022, pure electric traction vehicles also enabled the terminal to achieve smoke-free operations, realizing full coverage of green electricity at the port.
Our battery swapping station is fully automated, completing swaps in under 6 minutes. When telling the annual savings in fuel and electricity costs, we estimate around 16 million in fuel savings and a reduction of over 690 tons in carbon dioxide emissions annually.
Not far from the Yangpu International Container Terminal, the supporting service project of the Yangpu Port, the Yangpu International Smart Supply Chain Center Phase 1 project is under construction. This is the first zero-carbon smart logistics park in Haidian Province, which is expected to be delivered and put into use in the first half of this year. The park is set to be built into a green and low-carbon logistics community, promoting carbon reduction and achieving carbon neutrality. It will also provide a replicable and scalable new path for the green and low-carbon development of the logistics industry in Hainan.
We're ready to build it into the first green zero-carbon demonstration park in Hainan. The park features a gas-distributed new energy station and a rooftop photovoltaic solar power generation project capable of providing cold, heat and electricity. It can save approximately 3,800 tons of standard coal and reduce carbon dioxide emissions by about 7,700 tons annually.
Currently, there are a total of 43 international ships registered in the Yangpu port of China, with a total deadweight tonnage exceeding 5.3 million tons. Yangpu has opened 46 trade routes, encompassing 23 foreign and 23 domestic ones. Lin Wo, Sansha Satellite TV in Hainan for CGTN.
The 135th Canton Fair, or China Import and Export Fair, is currently underway in southern China's Guangzhou, known as China's barometer for foreign trade. The fair is the country's oldest and most comprehensive trade fair. This session, one of the key themes is innovation, with many new products being launched and showcased. Our Cao Chufeng has the story.
Now behind me is the central stage of the Canton Fair, and these companies here are having product launches. Such launches will take place throughout the duration of the fair, and some suppliers will also display their latest products at their respective pavilions. In fact, more than 1 million newest products will be at display at this session of the Canton Fair.
Canton Fair is a place where you can get a glimpse of the latest developments and innovations from various industries. The new products we've seen include the latest from relatively new industries, such as these XR glasses that I was super eager to try on.
Our XR glasses supports remote gaming. For example, even if I'm at the Canton Fair, I can still play games on my PS5 in Beijing. Secondly, it supports co-play with two players.
And there are also new products from relatively traditional industries.
Our new window cleaning robot utilizes a separated walking disc and cleaning disc technology. The most immediate benefit to users is that it cleans very quickly and effectively. Currently, all window cleaning robots worldwide originate from China. On the first day of the Canton Fair, we received over 100 business cards from potential clients.
Lithium batteries are one of China's best-performing exports, and some new products using lithium batteries are also creating interest at the Canton Fair, such as these high-pressure washing machines.
This year, we launched three products that have been very well received by customers. They differ from traditional high-pressure washers because they are powered by lithium batteries. It includes two removable battery packs. When the batteries in the battery packs run out, they can be replaced or recharged. It comes with a built-in water tank on top of the main unit. And look, it is detachable.
China is trying to promote products that are more innovative, creative, and intelligent as it seeks to upgrade its manufacturing industry and be more competitive. Judging by the number of new products launched at this Canton Fair session, it seems good progress is being made. Cao Chufeng, CGTN, Guangzhou.
New energy vehicles have emerged as one of the most bustling exhibition areas at the ongoing Phase 1 of Canton Fair. Foreign buyers' interest in China's electric vehicles continues to soar, defying allegations of overcapacity by some Western countries. Microcars powered by sodium batteries, renowned for their safety and affordability, along with electric two-wheelers, have enthralled a multitude of foreign purchasers. Some experts believe that China's green energy sector is swiftly gaining a reputation overseas and is poised to become an iconic made-in-China product. For more discussions on China's manufacturing sector, let's now bring back Mr. Liu Zhiqian, Senior Fellow of Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies at Renmin University of China. Hello there, Mr. Liu. Welcome back. How would you evaluate the efficiency of China's industrial and supply chains in maintaining particularly a comprehensive edge on the international stage despite the alleged overcapacity?
We should understand in other ways that China is the largest developing country with the highest the population. That means that the market consumption is also the largest in the world. So the Chinese supply chain and the industrial chain has made products to meet the demands domestically. For instance, China's central part and the west region are still need a lot of products that are produced by China, also imported from other countries. That means that the demand side is large enough to digest all these products. That has nothing to do with the so-called overcapacity. The overcapacity concept is made by Western media since many years. This is not new, because I still remember 10 years or 15 years before, when China's real estate is booming, that all these Western countries claimed China. And also when they Belt and Road Initiative put in the practice, also they have the same questions about the overcapacity. But actually in China, I think this is not a big problem. It's not a big challenge. Actually, the supply chain and also industrial chain in China is very healthy, also very sustainable, because all this production is done according to the market requirement, although market demand is the overcapacity is not a real reality.
Well, Ms. Liu, can you explain to us here about why the perception of China experiencing the so-called overcapacity might be misguided as claimed by some Western media?
That's true. Some people always say that China itself has suffered its own capacity problem. But actually, I should say in some very special area or special provinces that we have such problems of so-called overcapacity. But I have to say in other way that the overcapacity that China has suffered not only from Chinese products but also from foreign products. For instance, Coca-Cola is already overproduced everywhere, and the Boeing aircraft and also McDonald's, you can see everywhere all over the world. That's a really a good capacity from the Western, from the America side. America side has only 300 million people, but their products can cover over the half population of the world. This is the real capacity. Made the Chinese and other companies all over the world suffered from this overcapacity, because many companies have to close shut down, and also many workers have been laid off. So make the people in a hard life. But China is very inclusive, that we welcome all the products from other countries in order to meet the demands of the people in different tastes and different consumption inhabitants. So in this way, that China's market is very tolerant, is very inclusive. We never say that Coca-Cola is overproduced. We reject it, no. So that's why I should say that China and other countries should cooperate with each other to make a better understanding how to stimulate, how to promote the mutual production, and to meet the demands of each country's consumption groups, especially for younger generation and also for aging people. So make the whole world more harmonious. This is my idea.
Indeed, communication and cooperation are the key to get this misunderstanding. And Mr. Liu, according to what you have observed, what are some of the common misconceptions about China's manufacturing capacity, and how can these misconceptions be effectively addressed to accurately portray the real state of China's industrial capacities?
This is a really good question, because some countries and many experts are under much concern, under pressure, how to make a better understanding of the so-called overcapacity. Nowadays, I think many people concentrate on the China's NEV, that new energy vehicles. Many people say that Chinese cars exported too much to the European or the American countries. But the fact is, it's not the truth. According to my statistic, we see that foreign cars, including American cars and the European cars in China, they have the market share over 20%. But the Chinese cars in Europe, in America, totally only less than 10%. Who has made this overcapacity? Not China. And of course, we can see that China's products, for instance, the photovoltaic cells and batteries and other products could have, in the exhibition, shows the bigger boom that for the market, give some more manufacturers or entrepreneurs in other countries, they have some pressure on the productivity. But actually, we should have more better cooperations to coordinate with each other. Like the German delegation nowadays in China, they find some common grounds, common interests to cooperate with each other, to make all these products more advanced and then more in the green direction developed to meet the demands of the, all over the world. So in this way, I think the best chance and also the best opportunity for all entrepreneurs and countries to make all these products more greener and more friendly, environment friendly, in order to meet this heavy and serious challenge of the climate change. This is a big event, not only for China, but also for the rest of the world.
Liu Zhiqin from the Renmin University of China, thank you so much for sharing with us your insightful views.
The Asia-Pacific's largest consumer products exhibition is back.
Over 4,000 global consumer brands converge
to showcase their latest and most unique products.
We're at the forefront of China's evolving consumer trends.
To show you how businesses are leveraging China's rapidly expanding consumer market for growth.
At the China International Consumer Products Expo.
The China-U.S. Financial Working Group and the China-U.S. Economic Working Group have held meetings in Washington. The Financial Working Group discussed the two countries' monetary policies, financial stability, and financial regulation cooperation. The Economic Working Group continued conversations on the latest microeconomic situations in both China and the United States. They also discussed shared global challenges, including debt issues and areas of divergent views. The Chinese side also expressed concern over U.S. economic and trade restrictions against China and responded to questions of industrial capacity. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen welcomed further communication to stabilize their economic relationship. The International Monetary Fund has upgraded its forecast of global growth in 2024 to 3.2%, 0.1% higher than its projection in January. The new information is in the IMF's World Economic Outlook released on Tuesday at the IMF World Bank Spring Meetings in Washington, D.C. Jim Spellman reports.
The global economy is holding steady and inflation is dropping with no sign of a recession in sight. That, according to the IMF's World Economic Outlook, which estimates global growth in 2024 and 2025 will maintain the current rate of 3.2%.
Most indicators continue to point to a soft landing. Now, resilient growth and rapid disinflation are consistent with favorable supplies developments, including the fading of energy price shocks, and a striking rebound in labor supply supported by strong immigration in many advanced economies.
The IMF estimates global inflation will continue to fall from the 2023 rate of 6.8% to 5.9% in 2024 and 4.5% in 2025. Central bank rate cuts are expected in the second half of 2024. But risks to the global economy remain, including from geopolitical tensions, uncertainty around upcoming elections, and the potential of a spike in inflation should central banks lower interest rates too quickly. And conflict in the Middle East could lead to a spike in energy prices, creating a drag on the global economy.
The increased inflation that would come from higher energy prices would trigger a response from central banks that would tighten interest rates in order to secure inflation coming back to target.
But opportunities are also growing in areas like artificial intelligence and green energy. Countries like China that are investing heavily in those sectors could benefit.
Green transition and the high-tech sectors present a great opportunity for China, and policies like evening the playing field between state-owned and private enterprises are going to help China capitalize on this great potential.
The IMF is encouraging leaders to use this relatively stable time to build safeguards against future turmoil.
Going forward, policymakers should prioritize measures that help preserve or even enhance the resilience of the global economy. A key priority is to rebuild fiscal buffers
to better weather unexpected challenges to the global economy. Jim Spellman, CGTN, Washington.
Multiple financial institutions have raised their forecast for China's economic growth in 2024 after the country released its economic data from the first quarter. China's economy grew 5.3% in the first quarter year-on-year, beating previous expectations. Well, this data has caused leading financial institutions and banks to raise their 2024 growth forecast for China. Goldman Sachs and Citi now project 5% growth, which is in line with China's official target. Australia and New Zealand's banking groups have raised forecasts to 4.9% from 4.2%, while Singapore's DBS Bank has raised its forecast to 5% from 4.5%. With that, we're going to wrap up this edition of Global Business. I'm Zoe in Beijing. Stay tuned.